Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Welcome to The Catch on Blog Talk Radio, and yes, we do think we can make a difference, or we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be doing what we do every Tuesday that we can on this episode of Blog Talk Radio. And we love to have guests who are pretty much out in the world, experience what we call marketplace Christians, experiencing their faith in the culture, and able to relate that back to us, what it means, what their faith means. You know, we here at The Catch, one of the things we try to do is knock down that dividing wall that exists between the sacred and the secular. And this has been a problem maybe ever since time began. I don't know. It's been around. It's as long as I've been around, it's been around. And we have a tendency to put God stuff over here and secular stuff over there. And as a result, the damaging part is that we don't apply one to the other, and most importantly, we don't apply our faith and Harry Blumeyers calls the Christian mind. We don't apply that to our culture where we live, to the secular world around us, where a Christian mind has tons to say about life and about how we live it, and how we entertain ourselves in sports and health and well-being and everything, every subject you could ever imagine. So that's why we try to bridge that gap. And our Blog Talk Radio guests are a main source of helping us to do that. Now, our guest tonight is a repeat. It's the same guest we had last week. And as a matter of fact, when I was talking with him last week, I found out that he was going to be speaking in Seminary Chapel at Talbot School of Theology today. And I thought, well, and what are you talking on? And he basically said he was talking on Grace Turned Outward. Title for his talk was Extending Grace. In other words, grace is not something you can just receive, but you give it out. And in fact, if you don't give it out, there's a big question as to whether you ever really received it. So, because once you receive it, it's all overwhelming that you have to give it out. You have no choice. So we'll be talking about that tonight with our guest, Dave Horner, who is professor of philosophy and theology at Biola University and at Talbot School of Theology. And today's chapel talk, chapel speaker, welcome back, Dave, to Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, John. Great to be back. Love hearing that Johnny's Cafe playing as the show begins. Lots of memories there.
I know.
Maybe this sacred secular thing goes clear back to when time began, and then you said at least as old as I am.
Yeah.
And just want to reassure you, John, that you're not that old. There were things that happened before you were born.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, just saying.
Okay. Okay, maybe I need a little humility here then. I guess this is what we're saying. Oh, boy. Well, thanks for agreeing to be on the show again, Dave, and very excited to hear what you're talking about. Now, I understand what you told me earlier, that this whole year is under the general theme. Of course, you gave me a great Greek or Latin expression of it, but it was basically, that sounded very academic. But it's basically saying grace is the subject this year. And you decided to speak on grace, extending grace. In other words, grace given, because we do so often only talk about grace received. And as soon as you said that, of course, I lit up because, well, this is the Catch Ministry, where our phrase is grace turned outward. And that's really exactly what we mean by grace turned outward, is extending grace outward to others. So I was very interested in hearing what you talked about today. So while it's still fresh, why don't you give us a kind of a summary? Why did you pick this? And what are some of the points, and how did it go? And you may talk for a half an hour before I ever get a word in edgewise. Whatever you want.
Okay, well, buckle up. No, I mean, let's just go back and forth. But one thing that's relevant here is when I began, you know, when I was asked to speak on grace, I'm always a bit uncomfortable talking about it. And I think it's for two reasons. One is that whenever I speak and especially open to scriptures, like in preaching or something like that, I always have a practice to really meditate on the text over time and pray that God would build it into my life so that when I talk about it, it would be coming out of my own heart, out of my experience, not just words on a page. And, you know, when you do that with grace, when you ask God to teach you about grace, you know, that's dangerous. Those are dangerous prayers, because He actually answers those prayers. And so, you know, there's been a lot of 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness." You know, I've been learning a lot about grace. But also, you know, my theme is really extending grace, gracing others. And so the Lord's really been working on me to teach me that. I mean, it's just come home to roost a lot. That's one reason why I kind of like to avoid it, because I want to have learned about grace. I just don't want to go through the process of learning about grace. And then the other reason, though, is more to the point, and that is that I just feel like there's such a disconnect between you know, our emphasis on grace, our proclamation about grace and how wonderful it is, and all that, and how ungracious we tend to be toward people. And sometimes it's the very people that are the most grace who are the least gracious. And, you know, I just have to indict myself in all that. So it's uncomfortable for that reason too. But that's really why I picked the extending grace sort of thing. And in some ways, probably inspired by Catch Ministry, because I just love that slogan. But just wanting to address this and think about it and meditate on it and study it and try to figure it out for myself and, you know, come to some conviction about it. And so, in many ways, it's very fruitful for that.
Why do you think?
Keep going, or you want to?
Well, I'll step in and just ask you, why do you think? Why do you think grace is so hard to come by this day and age? Why are we so? Why does this seem like such an ungracious cultural environment we live in?
Well, first of all, I think there's probably a general gravitational pull toward being ungracious. You know, I mean, if you look at Paul's writings to the churches, including Colossians, which is the one that I was speaking from today, you know, he just constantly is talking about, you know, you need to be compassionate with each other. You need to, you know, there clearly we have a tendency not to do that. So that's just built into our fallen nature. We have a bent toward ungrace, you might say. Then it's exacerbated today for reasons that probably we've talked about before, that there's just no secret. I mean, social media, for example, does not lend itself to treating people with grace. You know, we get the dopamine hit if we do an immediate response, and especially if it's a negative one. You know, we're rewarded by the social media outfits for that, and then, you know, for whatever reason, all the political stuff. I mean, our culture is just brutally ungracious and even nasty in the way we talk to each other, the way we treat each other. And then Christians are really, you know, it's for some of the same reasons, just, you know, and it's tragic. And in fact, the real kicker is that, I'll just mention I was talking from Colossians 4, 2-6, and Paul's writing to this church that they're just living in a very pagan environment, that they are not the moral majority. They aren't even they're a tiny minority. They have no cultural power. There's all these weird religions and philosophies and unbiblical values and all that kind of stuff. And Paul says, you know, be prayerful, be prepared, think carefully about your environment and the people that you'll be engaging with. And then he specifically says, and I quote now from verse 6, chapter 4, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Well, that picture of, you know, the one I ran with is the gracious thing, but the seasoned with salt, that in first century rhetoric, when they would talk about that, use that figure of speech, they were talking about speaking in such a way that was attractive and interesting and compelling and that sort of stuff. It seems to me if you put together graciousness and faultiness in that sense, you get a word that's been used a lot recently called winsomeness. You know, it's and my point here is just that there are Christian voices out there saying, no, we should not be winsome. It's too late for winsomeness. That's a bad thing, you know? So we're just culturally so whacked out. And so I wanted to make the argument that when Paul says, let your speech always be gracious, or literally, he says, let your speech or your conversation always be with grace, prompted by grace, full of grace, and so on. That's not just a kind of cool little principle for winning friends and influencing people. It's actually central to who we are as Christians and our mission in the world. It's really important stuff. This is not just an option for us.
What can you give us an idea of what that looks like, Dave? You know, speech that's seasoned like that, or letting grace be part of who we are and the way we relate to people and all that. Can you maybe just kind of make this somehow real to us?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Paul doesn't describe it, you know, any more than that. Although in Ephesians 4:29, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up to meet the need of the moment, that it would give grace to those who hear.
Ah.
And so our speech really does give grace to people. And so if you just think, I think maybe the best way to think about it is, okay, what does grace do? What is it? Well, it's this overwhelming generosity of God. It's the, as I was saying today, you know, what drew me to the Lord is grace. I was so fed up with my own life and my shame, my sinfulness, my brokenness, and complete inability to fix it, that I needed his grace, you know, and that's still what draws me to him. My life is not my salvation is, I said, was something like, my salvation is a rescue operation, not an award ceremony. and in the picture I come to virtually every day, prodigal son. You know, I'm the prodigal son. I come home with nothing, and God is watching and waiting, and he runs to me, and he throws his arms around me, and I try to come up with my little prepared script, and he says, forget it, and he's just too busy, you know, loving on me and clothing me and setting up the welcome home party. Well, that's what grace is. So anything that, you know, is related to that, it seems to me, is what it looks like to speak in such a way that's full of grace, to treat people in such a way that's full of grace, to be the, you know, like the Father, you know, welcoming people. I know you emphasize that a lot. You really like that love song, Welcome Back.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, that's grace. It's like, mm-hmm. you and I were part of a group last week of grizzled old guys that are beat up in various ways. And, you know, one of the things that's so powerful to me about that is that we just, no holds barred, we share our stuff, and we got people looking at us with eyes full of love, and they see us in our, you know, our weakness and our mess, and they love us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they weep with us, and they hug us, and they pray for us. So that's what it looks like, and it's going to be, of course, different, you know, instances. So I'll just tell you a quick story of something I learned, part of the learning process of learning to extend grace to people, or I've started using the term grace as a verb, to grace people.
Wow.
It's kind of funny. I learned this from a tow truck driver. a few weeks ago, my wife Debbie and I were on our Friday morning breakfast date, and we parked at this restaurant in this really busy street, right in front of it on the street. And I forgot to turn off my headlights, so when we came out, my battery was dead. And so I called AAA or whatever you call it out here, roadside assistance. And as we waited for the tow truck to come, I needed to keep the space in front of my car open so the guy could back in, you know. But that's prime parking. And so I went and got a cone and I put it there, and I was trying to just stand there to keep people from coming in, but some guy really wanted a pickup, really wanted to park there. And he was pushing on me, and I'm waving, and I'm trying to explain to him. And finally he just drives off and angry, and he flips me off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, look, Jack, you know, I'm in trouble here. I have a right to do this. Where do you get off, you know, being like that, you know? And I'm kind of stewing a little bit. Well, finally, the tow truck driver comes, and he pulls in, and he helps me. And I said, now, by the way, you know, I had a hard time keeping this open. This guy really wanted to come in, and I wouldn't let him. And so he, you know, he drove off and flipped me off. And the tow truck driver says, well, just forgive him. Bless him in the name of Jesus. I think, okay, and I'm the guy that teaches at Talbot School of Theology.
Yeah, right.
Well, he was teaching me grace, teaching me how to grace people. Yeah. And so I'm trying to do that. When I'm getting frustrated with somebody or whatever, the Lord is prompting me now. Grace, extend grace. Bless them. I pray for them. Lord, bless them. And, you know, you just can't be ticked off very long if you're doing that.
No, you
can't. So that's one thing it looks like, I think, is just not retaliating, maybe making space for people just to, you know, to be themselves and not kind of feel like I have to try to control their responses and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so what? How do we change this? I was just thinking while you were talking how hard this is for us. Even like as Christians, we even learned to speak differently to non-Christians. You know, that's the way I grew up, because they were bad guys. They were, you know, they weren't on our side. And so to give them grace would go against a lot of what I've been taught, because we were taught to give them judgment. These are bad people. They need to be saved.
Yeah.
And here we're talking about treating everybody with grace. And leave the rest up to the Lord. Is that right? Is that what we're saying here?
No, I think that's right. And I think it's, you know, how do we change things? Well, I guess it's just got to be one person at a time. I mean, you're doing a great work with all your folks at the Catch, you know, trying to provide a different way of thinking about things. I try to do the same thing, right? And I need to do more, you know, in my circles. But, I mean, one thing I've discovered, and this is part of why I didn't want to get into the topic, because – as soon as I ask God to listen to me, then he does. And so it's just he's gracious enough to teach us. And that means recognizing where we've fallen. And it's kind of funny, John, after I spoke today, you know, when you speak, you kind of like to have people give, hey, that was really good, and so on. Well, and I had a few of those, but an older woman, former student of mine, came up, and she graciously but firmly confronted me with how I had not been gracious to her a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
And she was still hurting. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, just give, you know, just like five, can I have 5 minutes when I'm not learning this? But, you know, it's exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm really grateful that he cares enough for me to push me to kind of realize when I'm not doing it. And, that's helping me see the world in a different way. And it affects others, as you know, when we're gracious to them. So, you know, we have so many things working against us. We've got the political system, the media, you know, our just basically our culture. Plus, as you just mentioned, kind of longstanding habits maybe in the church mm-hmm. and assumptions and so on. But it's what Dallas Willard called a divine conspiracy.
Mm.
You know, we are graced. We celebrate God's grace. We long for it. We worship Him because of it. But then we seek to grace others.
Right.
I'll just mention one other little discipline. Speaking of Dallas Willard, he, interestingly enough, I mean, he was brilliant, but he would take questions someone noticed that someone asked a question or someone made a comment that Dallas could easily have come back. And so they asked him afterward, why didn't you go after that? He said, I'm learning the discipline of not having to have the last word.
Hmm. Hmm.
And that's grace, I think. That's gracing people. Okay, you know?
Yeah.
You have dignity before God. I don't have to be right. I don't have to defend everything. I can sit with it. I can back off and just give you grace.
Dave, time flies. Real important question in the last 5 minutes or so. What's the connection, and there has to be, I think, between receiving grace and giving grace? Aren't they connected?
Oh, yeah. And I think there's probably a lot to say there. I think if, you know, the more we realize just how much we depend on God's grace, that it's completely free, the more I think we're motivated. I mean, it's just inconceivable that we demand of others, you know, something different. But I will just say this. This is one thing that this is part of what I talked about today. Why does Paul see it as a big deal that our speech be gracious, the way we treat others and the way we talk to others? And here's very briefly my argument. I think we come to know grace largely through experience, that it's caught rather than taught for the most part. And to a great extent, we learn it through people who are extending grace to us. You know, that's the way God normally works, although He can just blast into our life and, you know, without anybody around. But generally speaking, we are His hands and feet, and He uses in this. And so when a big reason why it's so crucial for us to be gracious is that we are helping people understand what grace is so they can understand God's grace. This is not an option. It's not like, you know, just a persuasive technique. This is who we are. We are gracers. The most important thing in our lives is God's grace. And then He has given it to us for other people because that's what they need more than anything else. And when we treat them as gracers, and we grace them, that's ministry. That's part of the gospel. We're helping them understand who God is and what His grace is like in tangible, you know, ways.
Wow.
And I think we miss that. We just kind of think, well, hey, you know, you got it, and then maybe you say a few things to somebody, but it, like, this doesn't really matter. No, it matters how we talk to people, how we treat people, just as much as what we tell them.
Wow. Well, that's terrific. This whole idea of just being gracious and gracious to everyone without having to decide. I don't know why I keep coming back to this. This is my warped evangelical upbringing. But, you know, having to decide whether they deserve it or not, or having to decide whether are they on their way to become a Christian, or who are we used to have to always find out about people. And here's the point. There's nothing. There is nothing.
Yeah.
We have to find out. We treat everybody. Grace is a covering that we cover everyone with, because isn't that what God did with us?
Exactly. Exactly. He didn't wait for us to, you know, win the Golden Boy Award. He just graced us. He died for us while we were yet sinners.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Dave, this has been great. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for last week, too. And we'll give you a little break for a few weeks before I call you again. This
okay,
wonderful.
Well, show me a little grace, John. Show me a little grace.
Yeah, I will. I will, for sure. Dave, God
okay,
bless
love you, man.
Thanks
good to be with
thought.
You.
Yeah, you too. There you go. Well, that's it, folks. Another episode.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher.
There you go. It's John Fisher.
Radio.
That's me.
Connecting
on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Meanwhile, greet everyone with grace. Bless you.